Well, good morning. It's so good to see everyone. Like Kyle said, it always amazes me when it's 75 and sunny in Oregon and you guys are here. So it's going to be a good day just because of that. If you're a guest with us, it is such a privilege to have you. I want you to know we've been praying for you and thinking about you all week, and we're trusting that God is going to speak something significant into your life. Around here at One Love, we think that every Sunday is a big deal, and we're trusting that God is going to do something in us so that he can do something through us. If you are a guest and you don't know what we've been up to, we're in the last week of a series called All the Small Things. And this has been an incredible, incredible series. And I think today's talk will be the most tangible talk that we've done this entire series. We'll kind of be able to put some handles on things and really have some things to walk out of here with, some actions that we need to address and things that we need to do. We're going to look today at one idea that I think can completely change the trajectory and expedite the process of you experiencing God's best in your life. Now that's a pretty bold statement. That's a pretty lofty statement to say that one small idea can change how you experience God and how quickly you experience God. But today I am absolutely convinced that it's the truth. In fact, our key thought for this entire series was birthed from the premise that the human condition is such that we look around at people who are more successful than we are. No matter how good things are going for us and no matter what we have, we find other people who have more and we say, how did they get that? What did they do that was so much bigger and better than what I've done that allowed them to get that? What do I need to do? And so we're coming to the conclusion that maybe they didn't do things that were bigger than you or better than you, but maybe they did things that were different than what you did. And maybe those different things are smaller things. And this is the idea that we've been exploring for the past several weeks. Here it is. It's often the little things that no one sees that result in the life everyone wants. You know, so often, we have these huge things that we want to experience in life, right? We have a goal that we want to achieve, and we forget that there are steps, that there is a process that we need to go through in order to achieve the goal that we want. And so it's often the little things that no one sees behind closed doors that you do that will ultimately help you experience the life that you want to live and that what everyone else wants to live as well. This has been an incredible series. If you're just here for the first time or you've missed a couple weeks, I want to encourage you, don't miss this series. Hop online, you can watch there, you can download our app and watch or listen there as well, but check those talks out because I think these talks, it doesn't matter if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a Christian, these talks are gonna help you make improvements in your life. They're gonna help you move forward and experience a better, productive kind of life. So make sure you check that out. Today, I wanna wrap up this series by talking about habits. And I don't think there's a better place to start than with this thought for this talk right here. Here it is. You are what you repeatedly do. You are what you repeatedly do. Now just think about it for a minute. Think about all the things that you do every day. You are what you repeatedly do. It's this idea we say around here all the time. What you say you believe is not what you believe. What you believe is what you do. You are what you do. And if that's the case, then we need to pay close attention to the small things that we are doing. I wonder if I were to, well, maybe I'll just do it. How many of you would say, I am an extremely disciplined individual? I mean, I have it dialed in. Discipline is my forte. In a room this size, you would think like one hand would go up, right? But you're probably with someone and they're gonna elbow you right when you put that thing up. So there's no way you're doing it. Here's the deal. I bet you that you're more disciplined than you think. I bet you you're more disciplined than you think. You wanna know why? Discipline is just habits. You see where I'm going? Discipline is habits. And you're more disciplined than you think. The problem is you probably have more bad habits than you do good ones. And so the idea is, how do you change that? How do you start to have good habits instead of bad habits? I'm extremely disciplined. This will be a shocker to you, but I have never missed a meal. Very disciplined in that. Every weekend, I order a large pizza from Sizzle Pie. Every weekend. Very, very disciplined in that. And you're disciplined too. When you begin to think about your habits and what you do on an everyday basis, you start to learn, wow, I'm really quite disciplined. Are we implementing the right disciplines? You know, every Sunday morning, I put together my outfit. I'm just going to give you guys a little sneak peek. I actually do it on Saturday night. I think about what I'm going to wear, and Kyle and I we have this thing. Well, Kyle has this thing. Our worship pastor, the guy who is leading worship up here, he has this thing where he always announces to me when he walks in the office on Monday morning or Tuesday, whenever it is, that when he wears his power outfit. He's got this blue shirt. He looks really sharp in it. He's got this power outfit. And a power outfit, it just kind of makes you feel like you have a measure of authority, right? This outfit, like you walk in the room and it's just kind of commanding, right? You just, it's probably something internal. It's a placebo effect or whatever it might be. But it's something that makes you feel, it makes you feel good. I don't have a power outfit on this morning, and I haven't worn a power outfit the whole series, but I have a power thought for you this morning. And I think the power thought is more advantageous than the power outfit because you can use the power thought more than you can wear the power outfit. Are you ready for it? You gotta help me out a little bit. Are you ready for it? Okay. Here it is. This is in regards to discipline. Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want then. Think about it. Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want then. It's making a very clear-headed decision of what you want, not right now, but ultimately what you want to experience then. See, all of us are successful at certain things. Now, we're successful at good things or bad things. But the reality is you have become successful at those bad things or good things because of certain habits you've created. And sometimes those habits, and if they fall in the bad category, what has happened is we have chosen now over then. We're all guilty of it. There are things that happen in life. Whether it's putting something on a credit card that you knew you shouldn't have done, or it's eating at times that you shouldn't have eaten, or things that you know aren't gonna help improve your cholesterol. We have decided, and that's important to know. You decided to choose now over what you want then. Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want then. If you say you have a good marriage, you have chosen to implement certain disciplines, whether you realize it or not, in order to have a healthy, successful marriage. It might have been you decided that you're going to go on a date night once a week. You decided that you were going to read together or pray together or do something together every single week so that you could have a healthy, solid marriage. You've established certain disciplines. If you are successful financially, there are certain disciplines and habits you've created in order to experience that success. My guess is, unless you inherited just a heaping pile of money, that you've probably got into the habit of spending less than what you make. Right? Sometimes we want to experience financial prosperity. We want the 401k to keep on going to the right. We want our savings account to grow. Yet we make decisions that satisfy our wants now because in the present moment, they seem more important than then. So you've got to make some decisions in how you operate and how you orchestrate your life. And sometimes we have good habits, but they're just too inconsistent. Isn't that just a downer? Because that's the reality of my life, and it's probably the reality of yours. My bad habits, I'm super consistent at those ones. But the good habits, I'm just a little bit more inconsistent. Around my house, my wife has started calling me Mr. Monday, right? Because I'm going to start eating better on Monday. And Monday around 6 p.m. could show up, and I say, well, I'll start Monday. It's like, it's Monday. It's like, it's next Monday, right? You've been there before, where you kind of just choose what you want now over what you want then. Like, I want to get in shape. I know I need to drop a couple pounds, but I end up choosing now because it seems more important than what I want then. My daughter sometimes even calls me Mr. Monday at this point, and it's hurtful. It hurts my feelings a bit. But Monday through Friday, I can do, or maybe this is how it is for you. Monday through Friday, you do great, right? You got it dialed in Monday through Friday. You're eating great. But then the weekend hits, and you're taking the kids to and from the games, and you're driving by these golden arches, and you think, I didn't take the meat out anyway. So all of a sudden, in 2 minutes, you're sick, all because you decided to supersize it. It happens like that. But it's a decision. It's a habit that you're starting to implement. Are you choosing what you want then instead of what you want right now? My guess is then is more important than now. So what are you doing? What habits are you creating in your life so you experience what you want then? And I'm encouraged this morning. Because I struggle, that can kind of play out in my life in several different areas. And what I've learned as I read the New Testament and specifically the book of Romans and look at the life of Paul struggles with some of those same things. Not stopping at McDonald's, of course, but in the area of discipline. And I love Paul's transparency in Romans chapter 7 when he says this right here. I don't really understand myself. You ever been there before? I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I can't tell you how many times I've been at that place where I wanted to do what was right, but something inside of me, it almost was like it urged me, or it like pushed me against my will in that direction. And then he goes on in verse 18. He says, I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And when I first read that, I'm like, oh, Paul, you are so spot on. I'm just like Paul. I just kind of do my thing, and I sin here and there, and it is what it is. It's not me, guys. It's the sin living in me. Isn't that an interesting thing to think about? That there is sin living inside of you? It's this idea that the very nature of sin that you and I all possess on an equal level from day one, that nature inside of us is drawing us away from that which is good. It is pulling us in the other direction. And so you've got to be so on top of this thing inside of you that is bent to do what is wrong. And because there's this thing inside of you that almost urges you to do what is wrong, you've probably beaten yourself up a time or two. Like, why do I do this? How am I experiencing the same thing again? How did I fall victim to this again? And Paul's right there with us in this next verse. He says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Who will help me overcome the sin that is rampant in my life? Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like you have something in your life that you can't get over? You can't seem to kick. You can't seem to get a notch up on. You're just dealing with it. And maybe no one even knows about it. But it's this thing inside of you that you're constantly dealing with. And I love this passage of scripture because this right here, this isn't a rhetorical question. Paul has the answer. In fact, in the next verse, verse 25, he goes on to say, thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Who can free me from this life that is dominated by sin and by death? Who can free me from this? It is Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is powerful. This is revolutionary. Because the answer to the question of who can free you from your life that is dominated by sin and destruction, just like my life is, who can free us from that? The answer isn't a clever statement or a principle, but the answer is the person of Jesus Christ. When you put your faith in him, when you put your hope in him, with his help, I can be different. When I pull on his strength, I can be transformed. I can think different thoughts. I can say different things. It is through Jesus Christ that we will choose, that we will pull our strength from, and helping us choose between now and then. That is the hope that we have. Here's the reality. Is you can't do it on your own. The step is too large. You can't make the jump on your own. It is only through Christ Jesus that you can overcome bad habits and create the right ones. So now the question becomes, how do I move from undisciplined to disciplined? Great pep talk at this point, right? But what's the application? How do I move forward? How do I start implementing the right kinds of habits in my life? And I love Paul's writings because it's so application driven and oriented. Paul answers the question of how you move from being undisciplined to disciplined when he talks to the Corinthians. And he talks about this race that you're running as an individual. This thing called life is a race, he says, basically. And the metaphor fits perfectly into this time because you've ever heard of the Pantheon Olympics. These are the Olympics hundreds and thousands of years ago. And these men during this time would have been so committed. Everyone was trying to be a part of these Olympics. And in fact, there was only certain men that would get chosen, and they'd be removed from their families for 10 months at a time, and they would devote themselves. They would beat their bodies into submission and discipline themselves in ways that normal people just don't discipline themselves. And so Paul uses this metaphor, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, he says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? If you've ever had like a son or daughter in kids' sports, you want them to read this passage of scripture, right? Because I had a son, and he's like going down the basketball court like this. It's like, no, there's only one winner, son. There's only one winner. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But listen to this. But we do it for an eternal prize. The race that we're running is more significant than just trying to get a gold medal or a wreath. Or to stand up on the number one box. I mean, in theory, you are running for the gold, but you are running for something that is much more important than that. You are running for something that is eternal. And so in verse 26, he goes on to say, so I run with purpose. In every step, I'm not just shadow boxing. Anyone watch the Manny and Floyd fight last night? There was going through the motions for some of them. I'm not just shadow boxing. I'm not just going through the motions here. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. With every step, Paul says, I discipline my body. This isn't a game. This isn't a game. This is eternity. This is the quality of your experience in this life and the next. Your body may not want to do it, but Paul is saying you discipline yourself in a way. You physically beat your body into submission. You do anything that is short of sinning to make your body do what it is supposed to do. So with every step you take, you have intention. Every single step you take. I'm watching the Manny and Floyd fight. I don't know if anyone else watched it, but you didn't miss anything, by the way. But they had all, they're trying to revive the sport of boxing right now. And they were doing all these interviews with Sugar Ray and Lennox Lewis and all these, you know, great fighters. And they get to Mike Tyson. And they were showing Mike Tyson training like when he was like 15 and 16 years old. And I think the trainer's name was Rooney back there. And he's in the gym, and no one knows about Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson is the guy who bit that other dude's ear off and has a tattoo on the side of his head, if you don't know. And it's before all that happened, and he's training. And the trainer picks up the phone and says, he calls this, I think an agent or something. He says, you got to get down here and see this guy. He says, this guy, every single punch he throws it with intention. He's not just jabbing. He's not just sticking the jab. He's not just creating distance. Every single punch this guy throws, he's trying to kill you. He's trying to hurt you. And so it's the same idea. It's the same idea that you run with every step you take, that you are being intentional with what you do. Are you running the race of life with purpose? That means every relationship you have, is it with purpose? Every movie you watch, is it with purpose? Every song you sing, is it with purpose? Everything you eat, is it with purpose? And it sounds so extreme, but at some point, you've got to be extreme if you want to experience then what you're not experiencing right now. You've got to make the decision. Am I going to choose what I want now or what I want then? Paul's saying you've got to be intentional if you want to experience the best then. This means I'm going to say no to this food now so I can have a healthier and a better body then. Summer's coming. I say no to this financial temptation now so I can be debt-free then. It's choosing then over the now. And you've got to ask yourself, how do I make that decision normally? Which way do I move towards most of the time? And just so you know, this is just as difficult for me as it is for you. I think sometimes it's easy to go, oh, well, you're the pastor, and so this is super. Just so we're on the same page here this morning. It's just as difficult for me. The sin nature inside of me is just as strong as the sin nature inside of you. And so I constantly have to be making sure and telling myself and beating my body into submission so that I am disciplined and so that I am running the race with intentionality. I think at some point when you realize that you often choose now over then, it seems nearly impossible to start making the right decisions that'll help you get back on the right track. But I'm reading a book right now called The Power of Habit, and in this book it talks about keystone habits. And a keystone habit is a habit that creates other habits, right? Like when I wake up in the morning and I eat something healthy right before I go to the gym, and I actually go to the gym after I eat something healthy, and I come home, this is just me, and I pray and I read, my day is much better. Simply because I woke up and I started my day off reading and prayer and working out, my day is more productive. I'm in a better mood. When I'm in a better mood, I walk into the office and other people are in a better mood because the boss is in a better mood. And then I write better messages. And then the staff, they do a better job. It's like this. It's this one habit. It's this one habit that creates a bunch of other good habits. The problem is the opposite is true. When I start my day off differently, when I don't read, pray, and work out, I end up getting irritated. It's just, I get super irritated really, really easy. When I get irritated, I show up in the office and I'm not as friendly as I normally would be. When I'm not as friendly as I normally am or normally should be, someone maybe says something back to me that I don't appreciate. And then when I get really mad, I start throwing things, right? And then when I throw things, it hits people in the office. And then when it hits people in the office, our staff quits. And when our staff quits, we don't have church anymore. And we don't have church anymore, that makes me sad. And when I show up and there's no church, then I have to get in my car and drive home and I speed away. And when you speed, guess what happens? You get pulled over. And I'm not stopping at this point because I'm mad. And then I get pulled over and I go to jail, all because I didn't have good habits. Right? And on a side note, you should definitely switch from cable to dish. Okay? And that's an exaggeration, but you get the point, right? When you start implementing good habits, good discipline, it changes how you experience your life. When you realize that there is a significant gap, you've got to start asking yourself questions. And so I want to wrap up this morning. I want to ask two application questions. And the first one is this. What do you want then? It's a great place to start. If you're here right now, what do you want then? What is it? Do you want to be healthier? Do you want to have a better marriage? Do you want to grow in your relationship with God? Do you want to get out of debt? What do you want then? Once you figure out what you want then, once you know that, then you've got to ask yourself, and it's kind of difficult to figure out how to get it. So ask yourself this question. What do you need to do now to have what you want then? What do I want then? And what do I do now? What do I need to do now that will help me get what I want then? What are the things in my life that I need to start doing right now? Not Monday. Right now. Maybe for some, it's putting a filter on our computers. Maybe for some, it's signing up for FPU, Financial Peace University, and making a step in the right direction to get out of debt. Maybe for some, it's marriage counseling. Maybe for some, it's going to a gym. It's getting a personal trainer. Maybe for others, it's establishing that once a week, we're going to go on a date. Or once a month, we're going to do a family night, and it's going to be a family day. And we're going to do something fun, and we're going to grow as a family. Whatever it is, you've got to start asking yourself a question. If you have everything you want now, and you're set up to experience everything you want then hey, this doesn't apply to you. But if what you're experiencing now isn't that great, and the future is even more grim, then you need to decide what you're going to do to fix that. You need to start asking yourself some questions. See, it's the small things that no one sees that'll ultimately result in the life that everyone wants. In week one of the series, we talked about how oftentimes when we're looking into the future about what we want and we see it, we know it. It's like it's right there, but it seems so far away. Sometimes what ends up happening is we feel like the end goal is so far away that we don't even want to start. And so we talked about having one word One word that we're going to filter the rest of 2015 through so that we can begin the process of moving towards the then, right? Scripture says, don't despise the start of small beginnings because the Lord rejoices in your starting. So no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, no matter how far it seems away, you start. You start. That was week one. Week two, we talked about the power of your thoughts, that your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thought. So what are you thinking about? We are to take our thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ, and we are to think about things that which are eternal. Solomon encourages, he says, as a man thinks, so is he. The power of your thoughts. And last week we talked about your words. Your thoughts become your words, and your words become your actions. So what are you saying? What are you saying? If you want to change the life that you're living and what you're experiencing right now, you need to change the words that you're speaking. So we talked about this passage of scripture that says, we will not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only that which glorifies God. And then today, we land on habits. Do you see the process that we're starting? It's the small things. You start with a thought. It moves to words. Your words move to actions, and your actions become habits, and your habits become your character, and your character creates your destiny. In Romans 7, when I was younger and first going through Bible college, I thought, here's my out. I can sin, and it's really not a big deal, because Paul did it, and he says himself, I want to do what's right. I want to do what's right, but I don't. I can't. It's the sin living in me. It's not me. But then in Romans 8, Paul says this, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. When you put your faith in Jesus, when you put your hope in him and you surrender to him, you have the authority and the ability to experience the kind of life he sent his son so you could experience. You have the power to overcome bad habits. You have the power to overcome bad thoughts. You have the power to overcome bad words and the wrong kinds of language in your life. You have the opportunity, because of Christ who lives in you and strengthens you, to experience an abundant life, a life that is filled with blessing and a life that is filled with purpose and one that glorifies God. But listen, it starts with the small things. It's the little things that no one sees that result in the life that everyone wants. Amen? Amen. You bow your heads and pray with me.